Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
What's up, San Diego? Welcome into Gwen and Chris on this Thursday afternoon, an off day in Cincinnati for your boy and Chris Ello, Matthew Scraby, back at the Odyssey headquarters. Gentlemen, how is your Thursday going?
Well, quite good, I must say, Tony. I heard that you were joining us from a studio in Cincinnati today, so you're not in your hotel. No. Would that studio by any chance happen to be WKRP in Cincinnati?
No, it is not. But
it's WLW, I think.
Oh, it is.
I am familiar with that radio station, though.
WKRP in Cincinnati. I was expecting you to be rubbing shoulders with Johnny Fever there at getting ready for the show today. No,
hilarious joke.
All right,
Chris.
Not
hilarious.
All right, a little better than most of the stuff you come up with there.
You hear my chip fracture joke from the other day?
Let's never go there again. No, good day. We already, you know, kicked the Padres around in the old round table earlier today. Good lively discussion there. And the rest of you, if you might have missed it this morning, you'll have a chance to hear it again between 5 and 6, a commercial-free hour of Padre talk. And, you know, there's plenty to talk about. You know, as we tomorrow's finally the halfway point, Tony. You can mark it tomorrow, game number 81.
81, yep.
Yeah. I really, and we said this the other day, I can't believe it. We're not even at actually the halfway point until tomorrow. I mean, it seems like 1,000 things have happened this season already. So
1,000 things have happened.
Yeah, and, right.
Baseball season's long, and so here we go.
Yeah.
Game 81 start coming tomorrow, and we'll officially be at the halfway point.
Yeah.
It's nice to get on a plane after another closeout win. The Padres seem to do well on as you said, you brought up, I think it was earlier this week that
they do seem well. And you were right. You said it doesn't matter which of the games you win, they all count the same. But there is something nice, I think, you know, getting on a plane and traveling either there or back home, and you know, coming off of a win, and the Padres have done a good job of closing out series. I talked about this yesterday. My hero of the game yesterday, Tony, and I know it was Pivetta, and I know it was Arise, but I thought the play that Elias Diaz made to open the ninth inning was as big a play as there was in that game yesterday, because if Jacob Young gets on base, that guy's a stolen base machine. Now they got, you know, the top of the order guys with a chance to tie it up, and Morejon's under pressure. But that was a hell of a play. I'm not a catcher, but I got to imagine running out there with all that equipment on and diving and making that play. That was not easy.
Yeah, he got out to shoot quick.
He really did, yeah.
And not only did he get out to shoot quick, he was able to, like, keep calm and make the throw that was necessary. Because how many times have you seen that throw end up down the line because it's hit somebody in the back or whatever the reason is.
Right.
That throw can be tough, especially moving towards the first baseman. But, yeah, man, that was a great play, big time play for the Padres at that time. I thought, you know, for me, considering it was a 1-0 game, I'll take you all the way back to the second inning.
Yeah.
Two outs. T-Wade draws that walk, which at the time, at the very least, if nothing else happens from that point on, other than him getting picked off, he's already turned the lineup over so that the leadoff guy will be starting the inning, the following inning, no matter what.
Because now you've got scenario. You got to the number nine hitter, and if Diaz does make an out, the next inning sets up better.
Right. And so not only that, Diaz ends up getting the infield single, which set up the Padres' only run of that game. And often in that Dodgers series, we were often talking about just getting one something from anybody at the bottom portion, and they didn't get enough of it. And I thought the last two nights of the victories against Nationals, it was the bottom of the lineup to kind of roll things over or did enough there to turn the lineup back over and let some things happen there. And it was a good illustration of just that walk in itself led to that run, not only from a standpoint of, yes, Arise ends up coming in, but it would have set them up better regardless, and those are the type of things that you want to see happen for the bottom of the lineup.
Yeah, and you know, I'd like to see Diaz do that again, by the way. Roll a ground ball off the third base bag. That was pretty lucky, actually, but
no doubt.
You know, you'll take what you can get. And, you know, we've talked about the little things being a real positive for the Padres, and it's been that way for a while. I mean, I think you could say the same thing when they, you know, were playing for Bob Melvin. You know, they really did a good job on relays and, you know, taking the extra base and first to third. But I think Mike Schilt's and his staff have taken it to another level. You know, I go back to that relay throw in the a Kansas City game on Sunday. Merrill getting to the ball and Iglesias and home to Diaz and play Diaz made yesterday. And, you know, how many times they've gone first to third and picked up an extra run in an inning that they normally, you know, otherwise wouldn't have gotten. And, yeah, have they had a couple guys cut down at the plate? Of course. In fact, Diaz was thrown out yesterday after that run was scored. But I don't think that was a bad move. He is slow. I mean, he had no chance of getting there because the throw was good. But to me, with two outs, you take a shot. Maybe it short hops the catcher. Maybe it hits off the mound and bounces away. So, you know, I think with two outs, you take that shot. With one out, you obviously would stop him there and let Machado drive him in. But I think the Padres have been the right amount of aggressive 90% of the time. And I would say even a higher percent of the time, they've made the right plays on defense. And I don't know how many times you and I have said it. Defense to me is not about not making an error. Errors happen. It's on the scoreboard. Every team's going to make a couple. To me, defense is about making the plays that need to be made. When it's tight, when you need to turn a double play, you turn it. And, you know, when the ball, you can get to it, you get to it, those kinds of things. And I think the Padres are really good at that.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's where they haven't lacked this year, honestly, is in the small areas of the game. It's been the bigger areas that sometimes have gone cold, the offense or the pitching, you know, kind of the things we often are focused on. The little parts have been fine, which is why they are in every game. They don't make a ton of mistakes, those type of mistakes at least that can get you into trouble. And so, yeah, start a new series. The Cincinnati Reds team's not bad, playing some pretty good baseball right now.
They have a good manager over there. They have a good manager over there. Do you know? Do you know Francona pretty well? I would imagine. I know your dad knew him well, right? Because they played. They both played. College at the same time, your dad and Francona was down at Arizona, I know, the year that he was at Arizona, I think the year I got to San Diego, actually, and they won the World Series, my first year, with Francona being the MVP of that series, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah, I know Francona a little bit. Don knows him very well.
He kind of bullies
Don most of the time, which is quite hilarious to see.
Hey, Terry, get in line, pal. We all want to bully Don.
But they're an improved team. The whole National League Central, outside of the Pirates, are actually playing some decent baseball right now.
I agree.
Padres certainly don't get any breaks. They'll go from here and they go to Philly next, who also is playing good ball. So, you know, I don't expect to see the close games change a whole lot. I think it may have been 2 years ago we came here. Maybe it was the first year of Ellie De La Cruz. He put on a show one of those games. He was going crazy. He was doing a little bit of everything. And you know, I think he's a maturing player. He's learning on the fly here, but yeah, man, the Padres, they got to keep pace because no one else in the division seems to be losing very many ball games, especially the one at the top.
Yeah, well, you look at the National League, not the West, not the Central, just the National League. Out of 15 teams, 10 of them are over 500. So, there's only room for 6 in the postseason, you know? So, you're going to have to beat out at least 4 good teams, you know, to me, to get through October. And, you know, I think those teams are, you know, you want to try to stay ahead of the Giants, who, for some crazy reason, are now scuffling. Well, they were scuffling. Last I looked, they were down 5-0. Now they've tied at 5-5 with the Marlins. So, you know, don't even let me get the sentence out.
Well, I mean, Camilo Duvall blew, I don't know if he blew the save last night, but he gave up a bunch of runs in the Marlins
in the extra innings. The Marlins won both games, the first two games. They didn't beat Webb last night, but they won the game that Webb started. So, yeah, the Giants have come back, and the Padres are tied with them now. I think the Cardinals are another team that the Padres are going to be right there with. The Reds is another one,
yep.
And the Brewers. So, you know, look, all of these games are going to be big. You know, I said this on the roundtable, and I'll get your thoughts on it, Tony. But if the Padres win tomorrow, and let's give them a win tomorrow, they go 45-36 in the first half. Well, that's obviously, even Scraby's math will tell you that is on pace for 90 wins. And I think that's going to be about right, because if you don't get to 90 with so many teams over 500 around you, I believe, you know, at least somebody's going to get to 90, some other teams. I don't know which of the teams, but not everybody's going to fall apart in the second half. So I think you're going to need 90 to get there.
I think we've always held that thought, even when we were picking.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the season, 90 seems like it had felt like a safe bet. I would say at this point, it's like the minimum at this point.
Yeah.
Now, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
The way teams are playing now, of course, you could get one of those weird things where everybody starts playing poorly at the same time and it kind of drops the number a little bit. But based on what we've seen so far, I don't think there's any reason to expect that, barring any injury, or any major injury. So, yeah, 90s right at this point has got to be the starting point to where the conversation is in terms of playoffs. We'll get into more of that here as we go along. More talk about this Padre bullpen yesterday. Suarez served the first game of his suspension. He'll serve the next game here coming up Friday. But, you know, tell you what, Morty Holm didn't look bad in that spot. And then you got a good inning from Jeremiah Estrada, and you kind of hit on it a little bit. I probably should give him a little bit more look. Nick Pivetta was fabulous. So we'll talk a little bit more about our Padres on the other end. More Gwen and Chris when we return.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
All right, welcome back. Good to be with you here on a Thursday, Padres off day. By the way, Tony, you haven't had too many of those lately.
No.
Padres just finished up a stretch of 26 games in 27 days. And it was interesting. Woodsy pointed this out on the roundtable this morning as we rejoin you here, Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Mr. Scraby. Before the 26 and 27 started, we were all asked on the roundtable, what would you take on this, you know, stretch of games? I mean, a lot of difficult games. Dodgers were in there. Diamondbacks were in there. Giants were in there. You don't get a lot of rest. You've got some pitchers hurt, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I think we all kind of agreed, whereas it'd be nice to go 16 and 10, we'd be happy with 13 and 13 based on where it's at and how difficult a stretch this was going to be. Well, guess what? They went 13 and 13, exactly that. Although I think some of us feel like, you know, now we're disappointed, you know, because they lost a lot of close games, et cetera. In fact, the Padres have played 13 one-run games already this month, which is crazy. They did win the last two over the Nationals. But the point being that this was a tough stretch, Tony, and although they didn't dominate it, they did not hurt themselves at all. And a lot of times in baseball, this is what you need to do. You kind of survive these things and live to fight another day when the schedule isn't so crazy.
Yeah, I don't know that. I think there's a reason why, and it's not to say that we know everything, but I think there's a reason why our instant panel talking about that day were like, yeah, we'll take 500 because we knew how tough the stretch was going to be. Now, could they have actually ended up better than that? Yeah, they could have. A few things go their way, we could be having a different conversation. But you get out of that with really all good teams, you know, outside of the Nationals. And Nationals, I think, have a ton of talent, as we saw in that three-game set. And so, yeah, you should feel pretty good. I always felt like I've always taken the stance that it's not as bad as it seemed during that stretch, right? I think it was, you know, some tough losses, but they always bounced back. They always found a way to claw a couple of them out, scratch a couple runs across. And find ways to win. I think those are good characteristics. Now you're going to have some built-in rest here. I think you're going to see a fresher team. And hopefully they start to turn the corner and get back to what we saw them kind of get to. We've seen Mike kind of shuffle the lineup here in a little bit to try to, you know, for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, yesterday's was a little bit different with the lefty on the mound than we saw the previous night. However it goes, I think they're trying to find that spark plug again.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. You know, the other thing that just to close out the Washington series, since we had to spend so much time on it Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, we didn't spend much time on it Wednesday and Thursday. No, we spent time on it Tuesday.
Right.
Because of Monday.
Yes.
Right?
Tuesday, the whole thing was about how stupid the Padres were to just basically hand over C.J. Abrams and James Wood to the Nationals because, hey, they, along with former Padre Josh Bell, had great games. Well, the last two games of the series, that threesome went 2-for-21 with 10 strikeouts. Wood and Abrams struck out 6 times in 8 at-bats yesterday alone. So, you know, if you're going to put that much emphasis on one day where they do well, then we're going to put a little emphasis on the days that they don't do well. Just to remind you.
It's only fair, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a fair, you know, it's a fair exchange. So
Isn't that funny, though? I mean, like, it was loud.
Oh, yeah.
Tuesday
oh,
morning.
My goodness.
Loud.
Yeah. Oh, we're never going to recover from that. Yeah.
And then it was crickets Tuesday night, Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah. Like, interesting.
Nothing. We're not having to say, nobody's talking. There's no subject of conversation about Padres getting fleeced, even though that was a ridiculous conversation to begin with.
Yeah.
It's revisionist history. We talked about it, but very quiet. Though after the first day, wasn't quite the same oomph. They wasn't saying it with their chest anymore.
Not as much, no. But
you guys aren't looking in the right places.
What, people are still complaining? I mean,
I got messages yesterday saying you guys aren't telling the full story. I'm like, what aren't we telling?
Yeah, what's the full story?
Yeah, tell us what we're
they
not
They don't
saying.
Even know what the full
exactly.
story is.
Exactly. Okay.
This is why I went crazy yesterday because
Did
I
you go crazy
am,
yesterday, Scrape?
I'm just done. A 1-0 win is a win. It does not matter that it came in a 1-0 game against the Nationals. It is a win. Wins cause more controversy for some reason than losses.
Well, how many times have Tony and I told you to just say no? Which means when your finger arrives at the Twitter button, you know, it's the little black one that has an X on it, don't push it anymore. Or at least give yourself a few days to rest.
Yeah.
Take a little break from it.
I think you're due for it.
Scrape. Yeah, these fans are, you know, they are a little
Then I feel like I'm ignoring everyone.
From time to
That's
time.
That's okay. They can be ignored. There's nothing wrong with ignoring people from time to time.
Ignored.
Well, if all they're tweeting about is how, you know, C.J. Abrams and James Wood, you know, leaving the Padres has forever altered the course of this franchise, those are probably things you don't really need to be reading in the first place.
I had such a good conversation with my man, AJ Cassavell, the other day about this very same subject.
Right.
And
what does he see from the fan base?
He's saying the same thing we are. Like, you're being dishonest if you're saying that trade shouldn't have been made at the time. It's not even close. It really isn't.
I agree. I mean, no one's talking about the fact that Robert Hassel was sent there, too, but
it doesn't even matter who else was sent there. The things that happened to the city afterwards were more valuable than what would have gotten otherwise. Here's the thing. You never thought about this, right? If they don't make that trade and they finish on losing that year, I mean, there's so many different things that could have happened. Do we even have the same GM at this point?
That's a good point. Probably not.
There's so many different things that change, possibly, if the Padres don't go to the playoffs in two of the last 3 years.
Is Mike Schilt here?
Are you sharing Petco Park with 40,000 other people every night?
Right. Like, is that a thing?
Yeah. No, you're right, Tony. That run to the championship series, basically, for 2 years after that, now three, has increased attendance by maybe 10,000 per game. Maybe more.
You know,
I don't remember what the attendance figure was for 2022. Not the whole season, but give me half of that season. And now they make a run to the championship. You have 2023 where you're relevant until the end. And then you have last year where you have selling out almost every game. This year they do sell out every game, practically. I mean, I think there's only been four that haven't been officially sellouts. So
I can only remember one game where I was like, man, this is...
Where is everybody?
Yeah, I can only remember one. It was a weekday game, too, I believe.
That trade, that's a good point, but that trade is... Not negatively affected the franchise in any way. It has positively affected it in a lot of ways.
We literally have our own theme song now in the eighth inning. Like, we didn't have that before.
What, that's what's in?
No, the Blink-182 song.
Everybody's going to hate me for bringing up those guys who sang that song on KUSI that one day.
Yeah, no, not that. I'm just saying, like, that... That's reserved for like the Bostons of the world, the Yankees of the world. They have their own song, like in the eighth inning. That's what we have now.
Wait, hold on. I gotta say that I heard Mike Schilt on the post game yesterday. he was asked about being in Jose Iglesias' music video. I guess this is actually happening. And Mike Schilt said he was like playing a tambourine in the background or something.
Oh my God, I can't wait to see this.
He said he was very excited to be a part of it. But
well, he teased it on our show way, way back when he first came on.
He did. He did.
And it was going to happen. I think Chris was the one who asked him about it.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about Iglesias. The video's coming out. Yeah, for sure. It's just a matter of.
Mike Schilt plays the tambourine, unless he was joking.
Well, let me just say something. If I was going to pick an instrument for Mike Schilt, I think tambourine would be about right, honestly.
What made you think of that, Scrape? Was bringing the KUSI group? Did that make you think of
it? It did. It made me think of like songs. And then we were talking about Jose Iglesias. And yeah, that's what made me think of it. I completely forgot to even mention that yesterday. Ooh, a Marlin just broke their bat over their knee. That is not easy.
There's Scraby go again with the breaking news of what's happening.
Yeah, that nobody else can see.
described it.
Not even people on the chat can see what you're watching now.
That is a very easy description. Oh, player broke a bat over his knee. Tony, did you ever try to break a bat over your knee?
Hell no.
Okay.
Marlins are back ahead of the Giants now, 8-5. We'll keep an eye on that game. They're in the sixth inning there. Dodgers are holding a 3-1 lead in Colorado, going to the bottom of the ninth inning. A couple of scores. Otani's hit his 28th home run in that game. For those keeping track. All right, we got a lot to get done, as we always do. We have three full hours with you today. First of all, we're going to talk our usual Thursday soccer, and that's a little bit later in the show. But we should mention that SDFC last night, in the biggest game, well, in franchise history to this point, they blew out Vancouver on the road, the number one team in the league, and they beat them 5-3. Yeah. I love it. And the kid, Alaska, for San Diego, from Escondido, he went to San Pasqual High School, didn't just get a hat trick. 4 goals this guy scores. And SDFC moves into first place with that win. Awesome. So we got to talk about that, and we will a little bit later on.
Also, they had 3 players selected to the 2025 MLS All-Star game.
I would hope so. You know, you got the best team in the league right now, or one of.
Yeah.
You should have some representation. So their inaugural season continues to go beautifully well. I only wish I could have seen the game, but that's another, you know, argument and thing that I already. The NBA draft got underway last night. As I said at the time, Tony, after Cooper Flagg, I didn't recognize any of the names. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I think it does continue today, so we'll keep an eye on that. But also, I wanted to ask Tony this when we come back, and also ask Scraby. Halfway through the season, I want each of you to come up with one thing you're legitimately concerned about with the Padres moving forward, and then one thing you legitimately feel really good about with this team heading into the second half. That is your homework assignment as we take a quick break on 97.3 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
5:36 on the clock here in Cincinnati. 2:36 out there in San Diego. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matthew Scraby. Getting into some worries and some not so worries of the Padres. And before we get into that, I don't know if you guys saw what was going down between the Guardians and the Blue Jays today.
Oh, yeah.
A little action.
And it just reminded me of what the Padres and Dodgers had just kind of gone through. I'm not sure if it reached the amount of times, but certainly Vladimir Guerrero got plunked. Certainly was not happy about it. And then in a very, I don't know if it was next inning or not, because based off the highlights, they kind of cut it so that it was the very next time up for Mr. Who was it? Ramirez.
Jose Ramirez. That's what you get for being good.
Yeah. You hit our good guy, we're going to hit your good guy. And he got his right on the forearm, and you could tell it kind of stung a little bit. So
Vlad Jr. got his right in the rib.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Vlad got hit in the top of the third, and Jose Ramirez got hit. Oh my God! Oh, here's the bottom of the fourth. So next inning.
Next inning, they got him back. They waited a full inning because they had to hit in the bottom of the third. They didn't hit anybody that inning. They waited to the fourth. So you know that this is probably like, all right, eye for an eye here.
I love it.
Things have changed so much.
Go ahead.
The more they change, the more they stay the same, right? I mean, you've always had this kind of, you know, eye for an eye thing in baseball. But I think the posturing is a little different. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that pitchers don't hit anymore. And what I'm going to refer to is this game just finished up between the Cubs and the Cardinals. And these are two teams that, you know, like the Padres and Dodgers. I think it's a great rivalry in the Midwest. It has been for 100 years. Cardinals are up in the bottom of the ninth today, down 3-0, a man on base. And the closer for the Cubs, Palencia, comes up and in and hits Wilson Contreras. Contreras doesn't like it. He's barking all the way down to first base. Umpires kind of step in the way, make sure, et cetera. Nothing really happens. But Contreras stands on first base, and he keeps on yelling at Palencia, and they didn't go any further than that at the moment. Now, did he hit him on purpose? I got to believe he didn't, you know, although I didn't see the whole game. But I say he didn't because by hitting him, he then brought up the tying run to the plate, and I don't know why you'd want to do that. Anyway, Palencia strikes out the side after that. Cubs win. And Palencia is lighting it up on the mound.
He's chainsawing his way.
He is going berserk. And, of course, some of that yelling and celebration is over in the direction of Contreras, who's standing on first base. So, suffice to say, instead of the, you know, hockey handshake line that you have at the end of a series in the playoffs, now, we had a bench-clearing incident at the end of the game. Now, nothing happened. Everybody came running out.
I'm going to have to pull this
but,
up.
Do we want to hear from Palencia? I just found audio.
He's already talking?
Yes, the media in Chicago has already put up his post-game comments.
Yeah, why not to say? He was pretty pumped up, I'll say that.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, you know, it was in intense game. I was pretty hyped. I mean, that's part of the game, like, nothing was intentional, like, just part of the game. Like, I don't know, I don't want to hear that guy. I've been watching that guy since I was a kid. Like, I really feel proud of him, like, what is he doing for the game. Just, like, you know, like I said, just, like, the moment was intense, close game. Like, I think it was just that.
I don't know if I believe him or not. They
never have hit a guy intentionally before. I don't think he hit him intentionally. What I was talking mostly about was his celebration.
Yeah, his celebration was crazy.
By the way, he hit him, and he's telling him that as he's walking down to first base, like, bro, I didn't mean to hit you.
Right.
And if, trust me, guys who, very few guys who have the goal to actually hit somebody, if they intentionally did it, they ain't telling them that, hey, man, I didn't mean to hit you there. Nah, they going to stand on their own there. Now, maybe to the media so they don't get suspended, they'll tell you that they didn't do it on purpose. But
right.
He walked up to him. It was pretty calm, too. Like, dude, it got away from me.
Yeah.
So here's a, and so listen, just like in the Padres situation, for every action, there's a reaction. His action got Wilson Contreras' reaction. That action is going to then, if Palencio then went ahead and struck the next three dudes out, it wasn't like he was in more trouble. He chainsawed his way all the way through the next three dudes.
Yeah.
You better believe he's now going to have a reaction to that moment at that
sky
point.
Sky high. No
Which
question
is what
about.
We love, honestly. We do.
We should do. Like that. That's what we asked for. We want to see some emotion. We want to make it look like the guy cares that he won the game. But I also say this, Tony, and that goes back to the pitchers not hitting. As you know,
yes,
the pitchers, and this wouldn't have been a case in this instance because you're talking about a reliever who's probably never going to come to bat.
Yep.
But a starting pitcher is never, back in the day, going to react in any way, shape, or form. And they're going to be extra careful about buzzing high and tight on Hank Aaron or Willie Mays or Barry Bonds or anybody. Because the next inning, they have to step into the batter's box themselves, and that tends to help police things along.
That was
and now
one
that
of
you've
the,
taken that away, that little work of police thingy doesn't exist anymore.
Just speaking on that nostalgia there, that is one of the reasons why if you were American League person, or excuse me, a National League person,
yeah,
you love the National League. Because pitchers didn't have free reign to just do that. Starters didn't have free reign to necessarily go after any and everything they wanted, right? Because they knew they had to hit on the other side.
Yeah.
You know, that's to me one of the things that, you know, Pedro was notorious for that. But he didn't really start becoming super notorious for it
until he went to the American League.
Right.
Yeah,
because
he had the protection built in.
He no longer had to worry about that piece of it anymore.
Yeah. I think Bob Gibson used to hit guys back in the day for the Cardinals because he frankly didn't mind being hit when he came up.
And that
he
was the other
like,
thing.
He knew he was going to get hit, but he's like, I don't care. Hit me. I'll
there
still
were
hit you.
There,
I
were
like
certain,
that.
There were certain starters that didn't care. It was like, that's fine. I'm going to get you anyway. You can try to get me. You may not be good enough to do it. You might miss, and you know, I get off free scot-free.
I love guys that are crazy enough to just be like, hit me. I don't care.
I also think we have now moved out of the overly sensitive area. Because remember, it wasn't that long ago where these situations were soliciting a different conversation. About
I remember one, and I know
archaic, you know, and bullying and those type of issues happening. Like, we're starting to move. We're not having those same conversations anymore about these situations.
I think one of the first conversations we've ever had on this show was about Ronald Acuna getting hit by Jose Urania, and people were calling for Jose Urania to be arrested for assault.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
At least we're not doing that anymore.
And granted, these are very different situations. Like, it seemed as though they were hitting Ronald Acuna because he was just good at like hitting homers off of him. They couldn't get him out. These are situations where someone may accidentally or on purpose been hit, and you just can't let it slide over and over again. Like I said, I don't know the ins and outs of the Guardian Blue Jays situation, if that might have taken place over, you know, some other games. But we know the Padres situation popped off because it was just like enough is enough at some point.
Yeah. Well, again, I'll also go back to the scheduling. I mean, I think you got to have these teams play each other.
Yes.
I just love it.
It's further evidence of it.
Everybody loves it. The teams may, you know, Will Smith notwithstanding, I really think the players also look forward to these games. I mean, you know, it's a long, like you keep saying, Tony, long season. So having some games
you
with
love
a
these games,
spice
but you got
to
get
it.
Up. Yeah,
right.
Man.
It's better. It's better.
It breaks so. Up the
yeah.
the mundane everydayness of it. Oh, we get to, and in that particular division, they're like all intertwined, right? Cubs, Brewers, Cardinals, Cubs. I mean,
they're close.
They got a whole bunch that you want to be playing. You know, not having this play everybody schedule is killing that.
Yeah.
Anyway. Let's get to your subject there.
All right, let me get to my question. Gave everybody a little time on it, but I think for, you know, with the second half, we can kind of do it. Give me one thing that legitimately.
This is the true second half, too, by the way.
Right,
not the all-star break, which is
right,
more
yeah.
than half.
Yes, exactly. All right, so give us one thing that you're legitimately concerned about moving forward and one thing you're legitimately feel great about moving forward. He doesn't ever get to go first.
I don't want to go first.
All right. I'll go first.
Tony will go first. Do you want to do the... Let's start with the negative, we'll finish with the positive. So
I like that.
Give me something you're legitimately concerned about going forward, Tony.
Legitimately concerned about starting pitching.
Okay, yeah, right.
I just think, you seems to be getting, moving in the right direction. Michael King actually seems to be moving in a better direction. But there's still question marks. And then you add to it, Burgert, we've got to wait to see how long this is going to be.
Like, how many of those can you sustain, be able to kind of take on and still maintain the level of play? Now, they've been able to do it so far, but if you're going to make me pick a concern, I think it's the starting pitching and the health, I should say, of the starting pitching.
Scraby, would you like to go second, or do you want to bat third? Because, this segment is, all about being comfortable for you.
Oh, thank you. I will go second.
Okay, what do you got?
I am legitimately concerned about the bottom part of the lineup. Now, I think that they're going to make a trade that's going to shore up some of that. I think that they're going to adjust. But the bottom of the lineup, seven, eight, nine is easy pickings for some of these teams and these pitchers. So I'm legitimately concerned about the bottom of the lineup. The black hole, as some fans are calling it.
Well, you had to get that in there, didn't you?
I think it's a I think it's a fair concern, but I don't think it's a concern that is going to change a lot unless they're going to acquire three players. Right, that are going to start bat.
They just need a bat that someone might be a little afraid of in the 7-8-9 spot.
All right,
don't make that in the 7-8-9 spot.
No, not too often, unless they wear I hate to say, unless they wear Dodger blue. Number one, number two, the number eight hitter on the Padres. Last I checked, at least yesterday, was your team MVP. Tyler Wade. So
okay.
You're speaking out of both sides. I just want to let you know.
I said it was. You would be surprised how many people think they're like, how could you actually say Tyler Wade is the MVP? I'm like, guys.
Anyway. Well, you just kind of cleared yourself up there. All right. My legitimate concern is the same. Tony read my mind. I'll be just a little more specific, but the starting pitching, and more specifically, I really am concerned that Michael King does not come back and pitch, and I'm still concerned about Darvish, although I feel better about him because I do believe that he's knows himself better than anyone else, and he will come back eventually. But I don't think they can get to the playoffs without Michael King and or Darvish coming in and pitching some in the second half. I think the bullpen is going to wear out at some point. Because, Schilt has to do so much of this fourth and fifth inning bullpen stuff, and you've got to have your stalwarts back. So that's my legitimate concern. All right, let's go to the positive. What is something you feel really good about heading into the second half? And we'll start with you, Tony, again.
I feel good about the team. That's where in their ability to find a way to get it done. I feel most confident in that part. Type of leadership, the right type of core guys. I have no doubt that the roster will improve on the margins where it needs to when it counts. Because when I say team, I'm including the front office in this too, right? I think they have the wherewithal to get it done and put the team in a better position down the stretch. So I just like the... how would I say this? The
camaraderie?
No, it's not camaraderie. It's more than that. Just the ability to get it done. Period.
They've been doing it all year.
Yeah.
They've been winning a lot of games in what I would say, gutty type fashion. And I hope that continues. Scrape, what do you got? Something you feel really good about?
Well, I feel really good about the eighth spot.
Okay, where the MVP is?
Yes, where Tyler Wade is. No, I feel really good about Manny Machado. I think this is the best Manny we've seen in San Diego, and he's been consistent this year. He's coming. I know he's dipped a little bit here lately, but as we say, the team goes as Manny goes, and Manny has been incredible this year, and he's almost got 2,000 hits, right? He's got 1992, maybe? 1992 or 3. But
let me check for you, buddy.
I'm very confident in Manny Machado in the second half.
Good guy to be confident about, Scrabe.
Yeah, I'm going out on a limb there, guys.
Well, the old thing we say.
1991,
okay.
Yeah, the old thing we say is the team goes as Manny goes, and it does seem to go that way. Here's mine, and maybe this is the reason I asked the question, because I kind of had this one in reserve. But I was looking this up today, and I think it's not just coincidence. I don't know what it is, but I don't think it's coincidence. There's something to it. And my thing I feel great about is Mike Schilt's track record in the second half.
Good one.
It's incredible, guys. It wasn't just last season where they finished 43-19.
It's literally every season.
It's every season that he's ever managed. He took over a team in 2018. Now, he didn't manage the first half of that season, but he came in, knew what he had, won 41-28 down the stretch. 2019, they were out of it. They finished 33-16 and got into the playoffs. 2020 doesn't count because it was the, you know, COVID thing. 2021, they were two games under 500 after the 90-game mark. And they finished 46-26 and again got into the postseason. That can't be coincidence. And I'm hoping that, you know, I mean, last year's 43-19. I don't know that you can duplicate that because that's incredible. But Mike Schilt has a magic touch in the second half, and I'm counting on it to be there again.
I can. On along those lines, I just want to remind people, he managed a very similar way, the bullpen, the way he did last year and this year in the first half of the season.
Right.
Do you remember what happened in the second half when they made the trades? He no longer had to do the bullpen the way he's piecing it together now because he had reserves, right? And so what happens in the offseason? You lose a couple bullpen arms, and so you're back to kind of managing it the way you were in the first half. And I just think there's a method to his madness. You may not get it now, but typically, come second half, you start to get it. And that's how it's been so far throughout his career. And, you know, I agree with that. That's a really good one there, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, four seasons, finishing up a season as a manager. And, you know, 13 games over, 17 games over, 20 games over, and last year, 24 games over 500. You know, down the stretch, those are pretty solid numbers.
More than solid.
Yeah, happen again, and if it does happen again, we're going to be in the playoffs again because they're certainly positioned to be there. So now, you know, you got to finish it up. All right, good one, guy. Good job, everybody there.
Good
on
topic,
our little
Chris.
Homework assignment.
Good topic, Chris.
Oh, thank you, Matthew.
My math.
He's going to say my man is what he was going to say. But.
You know, I just want you to know this, Tony. Yesterday we're watching America's Got Talent, and Terry Crews, the host of the show, sends a contestant out and goes, "Hey, good luck out there, my man." And every time somebody says that on television, Lori Ello goes, "Oh, Tony Gwynn Jr., my man."
My man.
She loves the fact that you use that, and she mentions it now every time we hear it.
Did you tell her I saw her on the big screen the other day?
We all told her, and she saw it. She did. Okay.
She was looking right at the camera, so I figured she saw it.
They recorded it. Once they saw the camera person come over, somebody recorded it, and she did see it. And quite a few people have stopped me. So that big screen, people do tend to be looking at it.
There's 40,000 San Diegans in there, so you know.
Good for her.
All right, let's get to the other side. More Gwynn and Chris.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.